It was not your typical encouraging Linda verse.
I looked at it multiple times. I think that's a 9. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and his glory to pass over transgression.
Yeah, it was. Wow, that's not your typical encouraging verse, but I was struck with the word anger, because that's what the sermon's about this morning. So that was just an interesting verse to send to us this morning. It's not in my notes, but it could be. So I'd like to talk about anger this morning. And inspiration for the sermon comes from a happening in my life. I guess the inspiration is from another preacher that I've never heard preach. Is everybody familiar with the Grange County Fair? It's not Grange County Fair. The Grange Fair. Does everybody know what that is? Big fair going through Center Hall. Huge fair, takes up the whole valley, kind of. So we were driving down to Lancaster, and we happened to be driving through the fair at fair time. And it wasn't a horrible traffic jam, but there was a traffic jam, so we were kind of sitting. Windows were open. Anyway, we're sitting there. And this girl walks in front of us. She's not incredibly modest, but not totally scandalous. She walks, starts heading down the street, whatever. So we keep on driving, and there's a man holding a big sign, "Repent, you need Jesus," a couple other things, I'm not sure. And then there's another man with a loudspeaker, and he is preaching, I presume. Anyway, so we are about going the same speed as this girl, so we hit the man the same time the girl does, and he says word for word on the loudspeaker, "You need to get some clothes on, young lady." So, okay. And she responds by flicking him off and saying some fairly vulgar language to him, and sort of get that. And he responds again word for word. I wrote it down. Yeah, there we go. "A potty mouth is a sure sign of an unclean heart," over the loudspeaker. And there was a very irate man in a black minivan. I was so angry with him. She walked away, flicking him off and yelling still. And I was just so upset at that preacher. It's like, what are you doing? You are making a mockery of Christ's name. If she thought all Christians were haters, that is cemented in her mind now. How can you be there preaching? What do you even hope she does? Are you hoping she falls on her knees and repents or something? My wife can attest, I was not a very happy camper. I was debating finding a parking spot and going and talking to him. And I don't know that was a bad choice to keep on driving. I maybe should have talked to the young lady and defended Christendom in general. Anyway, I was irate for more than a mile, more than 10 miles. Stopped at Sheets, kids went to the bathroom, daddy stewed in the front seat. And I was irate for the next, probably about an hour. I got over it, still get a little irate telling it. I was angry. I didn't stop to talk to either of them. There are good things that I could have done. That man had a big platform, and in the 5 hours he was there, he may have impacted more people for or against Christ than I ever will. Maybe my anger could have pushed me to do something that was actually right if I could have done that. So I had the rest of my trip down to Lancaster to think about being angry. And that has been running through my mind for about 2 weeks. Was I right to be angry? Did I have a right to be ticked off at that time? If so, what else am I allowed to be angry about? Are there other things that I'm allowed to get upset about? And how long am I allowed to be angry? Am I allowed to be angry? How long is it okay to have a righteous anger? So those are a couple questions. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to answer them, but we're going to try and understand anger a little bit more. And what does the Bible actually say about it? Anger defined is a strong feeling of being upset or annoyed because of something wrong or bad. I don't think we need too much explanation what anger is. I think we all have a pretty good handle on what anger is. there's a couple different emotions that are close to anger. Frustration, I don't have as anger. I have three different ones here. Frustration, anger, and bitterness. I'm not so much going to be talking about frustration and bitterness today as I am anger. In Aaron's simple definition, frustration is when you're working on your vehicle and the wrench slips and you bang your knuckles. Ow, that really hurt. That's frustration. Anger, when you're working on a vehicle, wrench slips, ow, and you throw the wrench and start yelling, that's anger. That's not frustration anymore, that's anger. And bitterness is, I will never work on a car again, I hate these stupid things. That's bitterness, that's a life change. That's deep set, and that is also potentially me. But we're not talking about bitterness this morning. That is deep-seated, habitual anger that just sticks with us. This morning, we're most going to be thinking about throwing wrenches. The anger that lights up. Now, emotions, anger is an emotion. It's not a... it's something that can't necessarily change, but it is a reaction to something that happens. And emotions have the ability to control us. They shouldn't, but they do have the ability to do that. Anger and bitterness can control people. People's lives can be run just an angry response is their go-to response, and anger can control someone's life. Fear can control someone's life. Someone can live a life of anxiety where they just can't hardly leave the house because they're so scared. Fear can control people. That's an emotion. Happiness also can control people. That's a good emotion, right? But you can live your life seeking your own happiness, and that actually tends to control you. Sadness can control you. We can get overcome by lots of things. We can get so depressed and so sad that becomes a controller. So emotions can control us. The Christian should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I think we all will acknowledge that and know that in our minds. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wine can control us, too much alcohol, and there's a saying, he's under the control of the drink, okay? It can control your actions and can take over our lives. But the Holy Spirit can do the same thing. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit should control our lives, and we should not be in control of our lives. It should be the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid anger can do the same thing. We can be drunk on anger, where anger can control our lives and our reactions to it, and we can lose control of our lives due to anger. But anger doesn't mix with the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, anger, and self-control. It doesn't really fit in there. When I was listening to the preacher berating the woman, I just don't feel the fruit of the Spirit in that. And my response, I don't know that my response was terribly much better. Anger can control you. Long-term anger has no part in the Christian's life. Note the long-term anger has no part in the Christian's life. So is normal anger okay? Are emotional flare-ups just kind of how life is? They're going to happen. That's just the way it goes. What does the Bible say about this? I can give you my 2 cents. But what does the Bible actually say about anger? Is anger a purely negative emotion? Is there any good that can come from anger? Well, if you look at the bulk of Scripture on anger, most of anger verses are negative. Anger is not a good emotion. I'm going to head to Proverbs. Proverbs 14, about 4 verses here in Proverbs, real quick. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and the man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. To be the anger that just pops up like that, that is foolishness. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Slow to wrath is wise, being quick to anger is foolish. Again, the same theme coming through. Being quick to anger is foolish. flip a page to Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Anger is a negative thing that is avoided by the soft anger. You're trying to turn away the anger. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So again, this slow to anger keeps on popping up again and again. We are to be slow. I didn't cherry pick these verses. I opened up Proverbs and started looking for anger verses. And that's just where it was. But they all said slowness. They have to do with how fast you get angry. It does not say being angry is foolish. Being quick to anger is foolish. Feelings are not wrong. It is not wrong to get angry. What we do with our anger is very significant. But the emotion of anger isn't any more wrong than feeling sad or feeling happy even, or scared. Feeling angry is a feeling that can prompt us to do some very negative things. But anger in itself is not foolish. The quick, hot anger, and you don't think that is foolishness. Instant rage is what Proverbs is condemning. James 1:20 says about the same thing. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So this verse joins the chorus of verses saying, slow down when you are angry. Listen, be swift to hear. Oftentimes we're swift to react, not swift to hear. We can help ourselves a little bit when it comes to getting angry. Our anger doesn't typically produce good results. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Typically, our wrath does not work righteousness. You don't necessarily make the best decisions when you are angry. White-hot, flare-up anger is something that we need God's help to control. One of the most popular verses on anger is Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. That can be taken as a license. Be angry. Just don't sin while you're angry. All right. It's fine to be angry. Just don't sin. This is not a command to be angry. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." So I believe this is more of an acknowledgement that we will get angry. Anger is something we will experience. When you are angry, don't sin. The NLT, Ephesians. Ephesians 4:26 in the NLT, instead of saying, "Be angry and sin not," it says, "And don't sin by letting your anger control you." And I think that's the gist of what is being said. When we are angry, we can sin by letting our anger control us. This is not a license to be angry. You can be as angry as you want. As long as you don't do anything to the guy, it's fine. I don't believe that's what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that when you are angry, do not sin. Now, another thing you can interpret from that verse is be angry and sin not. Anger is not sin. So it's not saying don't sin by being angry. Be angry and sin not. Those are two separate things. So I don't know that sometimes we can feel guilty for being angry, and oftentimes we have very good reason to feel guilty for being angry. But the immediate reaction of anger isn't necessarily something we need to fall on our face and confess. That is an emotion. Very shortly thereafter, oftentimes we do have some things we need to confess. Very rarely do humans make great decisions quickly. And even more rare than that, they make angry, quick decisions that are good. If you're making a quick decision and you are angry, very rarely is it good. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Very rarely is righteousness coming out of wrath. When we are angry long term, when we let the sun go down on our wrath and we just can't get over it, we are opening ourselves up to the devil. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We are opening ourselves up to the devil. We make bad decisions when we're angry, and when we're angry for long periods of time, that's a long period of time we're making bad decisions. Whether it's relating to your spouse, whether it's relating to a brother or sister in the church, your coworker, if you're angry long term, you're probably not treating them like Jesus wants you to. And that makes the devil happy. He can milk that anger as long as he can, and that will please him. If people are arguing that anger is okay for the believer, they probably should keep on reading in Ephesians. So after be angry and sin not, you can skip down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we have a right to be angry, right? When something goes wrong and I'm wronged, I have a right to be angry because that's righteous anger. Well, we've been forgiven a lot. And I'll read it again. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember that you've been forgiven. We've been forgiven a lot. Do we have a right to be angry with other people? That doesn't seem to leave much space for anger in the life of the believer. Is it okay? It just seems like I should be able to say, it's all right to be angry. That's just an emotion. It is an emotion. We are going to experience it. But we don't need to stay there for long. I think anger is a feeling. We're going to feel it, but we just do not need to stay there. Matthew 5, 21 and 22, Jesus says, I guess to give a little context, that's Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, this is what the law used to be, but I'm saying, this is what the law used to be, but I'm saying. Jesus says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, ye shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So anger sounds pretty serious here. If you're angry without a cause, you're in the danger of the judgment. The phrase, without a cause, kind of caught my eye. Isn't all anger with a cause? So all anger is fine, right? If I'm angry but I have a cause, we're good. So if someone does something to me and I'm angry, that's fine, right? And that's pretty much all anger, right? So that was I don't think that this statement makes all anger legitimate. You can say, hey, Matthew 5:22, I can stay angry with you. You did something bad to me, and I'm just going to be angry for a long time because there's a cause. I think what I would interpret this verse, whoever is angry with his brother without an immediate cause. When someone does something immediately to you, I think that's you're going to feel the emotion of anger. But when that brother comes around to you the next day, that anger should not be white hot anymore. If you're angry with your brother for weeks and weeks over something he did months ago, I think there's not something wrong with that brother. There's something wrong in here. Were you right? Were you wronged? Absolutely. But something in here should change after you've been wronged. There should be forgiveness because we have been forgiven. Now, when we are victims of injustice, we will feel angry. I don't want to say we never, you just never feel angry. We will. That's just going to come. Wrongs do happen, and anger will probably, when we are wronged, anger will happen. I don't know that I'll ever be sanctified to the point where I don't feel anger at someone wronging me. I'm sure I will grow, and I think a habitually angry person can grow. If angry about little things that just tick you off, I think with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can grow in those areas, but I don't think we'll ever get to the point where grave injustice can happen to those around us, and we just take it with a smile. I don't even know if that would be healthy. Forgiveness is the way of the cross. That anger exists, but forgiveness is the way of the cross. Staying angry and bitter towards our brothers is a sign that there's something wrong with us, not them. Will we remain angry long-term if God's Holy Spirit lives inside of us? Will we stay angry and bitter and can't forgive? I know it's a struggle sometimes, but long-term, can we stay that way if Jesus is living inside of us? 1 John says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." So a couple conclusions. So looking at it biblically, a couple conclusions is that anger is not sin, but we are not to give it any space to grow. We are to put it off and not allow it to grow and control us. But what about righteous anger? Was the question. So that's just your typical, "I'm angry because he did this to me." No, we shouldn't live that way. We hear that, we have the feeling, but we shouldn't live that way. But what about the street preacher that was not quite blaspheming Christ's name, but was making his children look pretty bad and not making the kingdom look very good? Was I justified in being angry at him for harassing the girl? Was I justified about being angry? God gets angry at sin, so Aaron should too. Is that true? The short answer is yes, but not much and not for long. It might be okay. I think that maybe should have pushed some buttons. If I love my Savior and I see someone making him look bad, that should make me a little angry. But I can't hold on to that. I think I might have held on to it a little bit too long. I did not actually find very much biblical basis for the idea of righteous anger. It's okay to get angry as long as it's something bad is happening. It's okay to get angry and let it rip. I didn't actually find that much promoting that. If Jesus had some anger, Jesus had some anger in his life. So if Jesus was angry, therefore Aaron can be angry, right? I don't know if that's good mentality or not, but like to look at some of Jesus' anger. Mark 3. Yeah. Mark 3, he is healing on the Sabbath. Eventually. And he was angry. Let's just start at verse 1. "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked around, when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other." So Jesus looked at them with anger. He was not impressed. He saw the hardness of their hearts. "You guys just want to accuse me. I'm going to do something good, and you're just going to rip me for it." He was angry at them. You don't need to turn to Matthew 23, but the woes on the Pharisees, I don't think Jesus was saying them with a smile. "Woe unto you, you blind guides, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs." I think Jesus was angry with the Pharisees. He was angry. He was a human just like we were, and he has feelings just like we have. But Jesus could read men's heart like a book. That is one advantage he has that we don't have. I might get angry because he thinks that I'm just so... I don't know that. I can get angry over made-up things. Jesus knows the hearts of men. We can be so sure we can understand what the other person's heart is, and we can get angry, and we can be wrong. Jesus is never wrong. So I don't know that Jesus' anger here gives us license to be angry. But the most common reference to Jesus being angry is found in John 2, verses 13 to 17, when he clears clears the temple. Now, nowhere does it actually say in here that Jesus was angry when he does this, but I think I can hardly picture him doing it with a smile. John 2, 13 to 17. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So while it doesn't say that Jesus was angry, I believe he was. I don't think he was, you know, tapping on tables with a whip. Let's go. I think he was swinging. I can say my picture of what it looked like, but it doesn't really matter because I wasn't there. But I don't believe that Jesus was happy. He felt just like we feel, and he could see the hearts of men. He could see the greed. He could see the uncaring for God's temple. This is a money pit. And that made him angry. But Jesus is the judge. We are not. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the judge of the world. That is not us. His anger is always righteous. But his anger was not quick. He made a scourge in verse 15. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, you don't do that in 30 seconds. It takes a little bit of time to make a scourge. I've never made one, but I imagine it took him at least 5 minutes. Probably longer, I don't know. But he didn't just, he first walked into the temple, he looked around, oh, that just ticks me off, white hot anger blazing through there. He sat down and he made a scourge. His righteous anger was not quick anger. We can only imagine what it looked like. Unfortunately, it doesn't give us more details. But he does clear the temple. So in our minds, we are to be like Jesus in all that we do, right? And Jesus was angry, and it was a righteous anger. There was wrong being done. So that's our assignment as well. But we will never be just like Jesus. We are to be like Jesus, but we will never be Jesus. We will never be the creator of the world. We will never be the sustainer of the world. And we will never be the judge of the world. I don't know that the story of Jesus, the creator and judge of the world, cleansing the temple, gives us any right to act out in anger to those around us. I think the entirety of Scripture contradicts that idea. Read all the other verses, the fruit of the Spirit, the life that the Spirit wants to have in us. I don't think anger is an emotion that should come out of us. I think we will feel anger, but I don't think we should act in anger. I think anger can be helpful if it is controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. I think righteous anger can be used to correct with love. I'd like to look at Paul. Paul in Galatians has a interaction with Peter that wasn't necessarily the most unrocky. So Paul withstands Peter to the face in Galatians 2, 11 to 14. And I would take this as a way that anger can motivate us to correct with love. I think that Paul is angry here, but I think that he used his anger correctly. Galatians 2, 11 to 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And we'll stop there. His argument goes on. So Peter was eating with the Gentiles until some Jews showed up. Then, you guys are unclean. I'm eating over here. And I don't think that Paul, got out the old scrolls. Oh, I believe this is a violation of Rule 8. Hey, Peter, maybe you should... I think he was actually angry. Hey, this is hypocrisy. You're a leader. I think that Paul was actually angry. But it sounds like he was able to control his anger and make a good argument as to why he should not be doing that. He used his righteous anger to correct with love. Now, I think that's a good use for anger. Our righteous anger should motivate us to correct in a loving way. And sometimes that we might need to wait a little bit to do that. Maybe the instant, man, I'm angry at that wrong, but I'm going to wait a little bit and talk to you tomorrow. I don't know that righteous anger needs to be, hey, that needs to be dealt with right now. Most times it doesn't. Sometimes it might. I'm willing to be challenged a little bit on my stance on righteous anger. If someone disagrees with me and thinks that righteous anger really has a big place in our lives, I can take that. Sometimes we can take the feeling of righteous anger a little too far. So if Luke goes up to my truck, takes a sledgehammer and smashes in the side panel, number one, he probably picked the right truck to do it to. Number two, I'm probably going to be angry and I have a legitimate reason to be angry. I was wronged, Luke was wrong, and I have a reason to feel angry. That's legitimate. I was wrong. But do I have that is a righteous anger. I was right, he was wrong. But do I have a right to hang on to that anger? I acknowledge it's not wrong to feel that anger right away, but if I'm still white hot against him the next time I see him and the next time, he's still wrong and I'm still right. But we gotta let go of that. That righteous anger should motivate us to correct with love. My anger should motivate me to take a look, what in the world is going on between me and Luke? There's a problem there. My anger should motivate me to correct some things. Let's take a look. Do you need to talk about something? Anger should motivate us to talk. Sometimes it can feel good to stew in your self-righteous anger. Man, I was wronged. And we can just stew in it and feel justified because I was legitimately wronged. But anger will kill us. Anger is not the way of the cross. Is there such a thing as healthy anger? I think the question we can ask ourselves when we're angry, and is this okay or not, is what I'm currently angry about, would that make God angry as well? Would God be angry at my situation? Children being abused and neglected, would that make God angry? Yes, it would. And I think it's okay to get angry about that. I'm not getting paid as much as I think I'm worth. Would that make God angry? Oh, I understand that. You're not. No, that wouldn't make God angry. A street preacher putting Jesus and God's children in a bad light, would that make God angry? I believe it would. What about if God decides it's time for someone we love to go home to be with him? Would that make God angry? I don't think it would. It's a legitimate feeling to feel, but I don't think that would make God angry. It's not a good place to stay. Practically, little Johnny spills his milk at the table. Would that make God angry? No, unfortunately not. Little Johnny innocently flushes a rubber duck down the toilet. Does God get angry over that? No. Daddy might get frustrated, and Daddy's reaction might make God angry, but God does not get angry over toilet problems. What about your coworker, or your wife, or your husband, or your friend leaves a mess that you need to clean up, and you're angry? Does that make God angry? Probably not. Many of the things we get angry about are frustrations. not things to actually get angry about. Frustration turned into anger is something we all can work on. I can work on. As we are sanctified, we should grow in our self-control, and we can grow in these areas. And if we're not, we can ask. Ask and shall be given to you. God, I need some help in the area of anger. I get angry over stupid little things. God, yeah, I need some help to be sanctified. So what do I do with my anger? If anger is not a sin, it's not a sin to feel anger, then is it okay to do things angrily? So it's not a sin. Anger is not a sin, so can I act angrily? If something doesn't go my way, can I stomp off in a fit? If anger is not a sin. Anger is an emotion we all feel, but I don't know that we have any right to act angrily. We should not be angry people. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. That is a sign of the flesh. I think anger can be good. If I see my child hit another child with a stick and steal his toy, anger is my natural response. But that anger should push me to loving correction, not to blowing up on them. If I see my brother operating his business unethically, anger is a proper response. But that anger should not push me to blow up on him. It should push me to lovingly correct and rebuke and encourage him. Kind of a side note that I was thinking about. If we're going to claim to be non-resistant because we don't want to go fight, if we're going to claim to be non-resistant, we need to control our anger. We won't fight because we're called to love people and not take their lives. That's true. And we're in a different kingdom. That's true. But we better be in that different kingdom. And we better be living non-resistant lives. In God's eyes, to hate your brother is to kill your brother. If we're going to struggle with anger, we need to take a serious thought on our non-resistant stance. I see anger as a big deal. It spills over into lots of different areas of life, not just doctrinal, what do we believe about non-resistance, but relationally in the family it spills over, in the church it spills over, in every area of life it spills over. So in conclusion, we are going to get angry. Sorry to break it to you if you thought you could get away from it. But let's be slow to get anger and allow it to cool. And let's use our anger to motivate us to love those around us and to go after the wrongs. Don't just, oh, that just makes me angry, and let it simmer. Well, actually do something. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you are not just a God of righteousness, but a God of love and forgiveness. Thank you for loving and forgiving each of us. I pray that we would not be angry towards one another, but that we could remember how much we've been forgiven. Pray that when we do struggle, when we do blow up, that we would be quick to ask for forgiveness from those around us and from you. Pray that we would display the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of the flesh, that we could seek after you, draw closer to you, so that we could live lives pleasing to you. Praise your name. Amen.